Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What's up, guys? Don't forget to sub to Patreon so that you can see the visuals. Because not only do we have episodes of the podcast, we have exclusive content that nobody else sees on any other apps, behind the scenes, photo shoots, and we're dropping a whole bunch of surprising stuff this year. So if you guys don't want to miss out and you want to be the first to know, go over to our Patreon, www.dumbblondeunrated.com. Love ya. Is this thing on?
Bonnie, who used to be a former sex worker and now hosts the podcast Dumb Blonde.
Most little girls grow up wanting to be doctors and lawyers and shit. And I was like, I want to be super hot, make a lot of fucking money, and be a rock star's wife. That was my goal as a child. And here we are.
What's up, you sexy motherfuckers? Today, I'm so excited. It has been a long time coming. We have pretty much, like, I would like to say an anomaly, because you are not only a boss bitch, but I really feel like you're paving the way for a lot of things that, you know, people have worked their lives for, and you're just kind of making your own way with it. Lena the Plug is here, baby.
Hi, everyone. I'm so happy to be here.
Dude, I feel like it's been such a long time coming.
Yeah, I agree. I'm like, every time I see your podcast on my feed, I'm like, wait, have I not been on this already? Like, I feel like it's just, we've talked about it. I almost came out a few months ago, and then you guys, this is the first time I've flown in to Vegas for just 2 hours.
Literally.
Like, I'm coming here for this.
You're a gangster on the first day of your period.
Yes.
You're a gangster. I was just telling you that I had to give you your flowers because I don't do shit on the first day of my period.
I really need to block myself out on that week. I have two people who work for me who are in my calendar, and they will just put shit in it. And I'm like, oh my God, I want to take like a week off. And I look and I'm like, wait, I can't. I'm booked for the next 2 months. I'm glad because I made some really great hires, but I'm also like, fuck, they're working me hard.
Yeah, they're fucking, you're the little workhorse. You're the moneymaker, baby. So I have been watching you for years. You know, you and Adam, what you guys have built, I think is so beautiful, so amazing.
Thank you.
Jay and I admire you guys. We think you guys are awesome. I watched a lot of podcasts with you last night, and I don't ever really hear you touch on your childhood and stuff like that. Like, where did you grow up? Where are you from?
I'm from Glendale, California, which is like, it's LA, right? But I feel like it's also very different from LA.
It's like a suburb.
Yeah. And everyone knows it now because there's like the Americana is like a nice fancy little outdoor mall over there, kind of like the Grove.
Yeah.
But to me, it was just like an Armenian community outside of Armenia. Mm-hmm. It's very like multicultural. I feel like in a way, it's almost like I grew up in Armenia because there was like the cultural shame around sex that came from the Armenian culture that I kind of grew up with. Mm-hmm. But not just that, it was like, I wasn't this perfect Armenian girl because my family, although they were Armenian, like, and we spoke Armenian, we ate Armenian food, whatever, like, we weren't, like, I don't speak perfect Armenian. And so I felt like I didn't really fit with that group of people because they sort of shamed me for not being Armenian enough.
So you always felt like you didn't belong.
Yeah, I was like whitewashed or super Americanized or whatever to them, even though, like, walking around in the world, like, I feel Armenian. Mm-hmm. You know,
are both your parents full Armenian?
Yeah, both my parents are Armenian. It's just that they were born in the Middle East because there was like a genocide, so everyone left. So like, when you talk to a lot of people who are Armenian, most of the time their parents weren't necessarily born there. It's like, right, their great grandparents were born there,
right? That's got to be hard. So when doing what you do, I love that you call yourself an adult content creator. You don't ever call, I never hear you say that you're a porn star, because technically I think you're so much more than just sex work. Like, you have so much shit going on.
In the beginning of my career, I was doing the private Snapchat thing, which feels like super old news.
Dude,
now,
like, that was fucking I don't even remember, like, probably 10 years ago.
So yeah, I got into that in 2016, and at the time, you know, OnlyFans wasn't a thing yet. Mm-hmm. And I was getting invited to things like AVN. Mm-hmm. With actual porn stars who shoot for studios, but I was making YouTube content, so I didn't feel comfortable calling me a porn star. And in the beginning, I didn't even feel comfortable saying that I did porn, because I was like taking photos of myself in the bath. And I, for some reason, my brain didn't really compute that that is porn. That's all porn used to be.
Yeah.
You know? And so I get, and then now we live in this like OnlyFans girl era. And I don't even like to just say that. I'm like, I'm an adult content creator, no matter what platform it ends up going on.
Yeah.
But I guess I also make YouTube content, so I'm like a social media influencer, but there isn't like a perfect word for it.
I love that you don't let people put you in a box though, because I'm the same way. And I think that's amazing. And that's why in the beginning I said that I feel like you're kind of paving your own way, because most girls that are in the industry that you're in and that do what you do would be like, oh, I'm a porn star. And that's just what they would roll with. But with you, it's like, no, there's so much more that goes into it. Like, you're a boss.
I don't really think about it like that, but thank you.
No,
like,
for sure.
Because I feel like when you do porn and when you're hanging out with the porn girlies, if you try to say like, oh no, I'm more than that, then they feel like, especially with our industry where we're kind of outcasts, I wouldn't want anyone to feel like, oh, she thinks she's better than me because she's put out a couple vlogs, you know? Yeah. Like, I also do porn, and I feel like that's my squad. We all get discriminated on Instagram or whatever for the same ways. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, I got a note from my bank that I've been with for God, like 15 years now, yesterday, saying I have 30 days, my account's closing, right? They're just,
because you're a sex worker.
Probably. It's not what the paper said, but it's like, you know, they don't look at me.
They're doing that a lot.
I'm not surprised. I saw it and I was like, fuck, but I wasn't surprised, you know? Mm-hmm. But so I get discriminated against in the same ways that traditional porn stars do, so I try to like make sure I'm always saying that I'm a part of that team, you know?
Yeah.
Because like I've been banned on Instagram, like I'm shamed the same way, so I don't want to be like, well, I'm better, I'm different, you know?
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
Although I used like YouTube and means like that to make a name for myself, mostly 99% of what I'm doing is I'm making porn.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? But I mean, you have like the Lena the Mom Instagram, and like you've tried to branch off and do, and have like, you had your own podcast that was going on for a while. What happened with that? What happened with your podcast? It was so good. What was it called again? I forget.
Touchy subject.
Yeah.
I know. I like fully, Adam bought me podcast equipment for Valentine's Day and was like, you're doing a podcast. And I was like happy, and it was sweet, because I'm like, he's pushing me to do something that I want to do, but I'm also like nervous to do. I feel like it ended because one, it was hard for me to get guests.
Yeah, it's hard.
And get them to show up.
Yeah.
But B, part of it was like my own sort of like self-sabotaging insecurity about like, oh, maybe it's not good enough, because like everyone has a podcast now.
You're a perfectionist, so, I know.
Yeah, and I'm kind of like, I don't want to just be another girl with a podcast. Mm-hmm. Like, I want it to actually be good, and I want, I don't want to just get guests on who want to come on. I want to get the guests on that I am actually curious to have a conversation with, and I think those guests were a little harder to find for me.
Absolutely. You know? I've been doing this 5 years. I've been doing this since before podcasts boomed.
Yeah.
And so now to see how many podcasts, I tell them, like my management team, I meet with them all the time, and I'm like, what's the next? I don't want to do what everybody else is doing. Mm-hmm. What's the next level? But I've somehow turned this into a 7-figure business, and it's like, okay, what's next? Talk shows, you know? Like, I'll be the next Joan Rivers. I don't give a fuck. Let's do it, you know? So I totally understand what you're talking
about. Yeah, it's like, I want, if I'm going to do it, I want it to be good and meaningful.
But it was
good,
and it was meaningful.
Thank you. My 10-episode run.
You got to do it. You have to do it.
Maybe it'll come back. I know.
So circling back to your childhood about, you know, the sexual kind of repression that you grew up in because of your heritage.
Yeah.
Does that ever make you feel shameful now? Like, do you have, because I know I grew up in a super religious family. Mm-hmm. So I know when I was an escort out here, everybody knows I was a high end escort for, you know, fucking 15 years out here. And I always battled with the light and the darkness, because I was like, you know, God wouldn't approve of this. And, you know, it's like you have to kind of like flick the angel off your shoulder to, you know, get through. You have to survive.
Yeah. I mean, I don't feel like what I do is unethical at all. Like, I don't feel like I'm making unethical porn when I'm on set. I don't feel shame. I know I'm just like, it's honestly like I'm having fun with my friends. Like, yeah, you know, and then we fuck and it's fun, yeah, and we make some money. But when I find myself going into spaces that have like Armenian people, like let's say like the bank in my neighborhood, there's always like Armenian people who work there, I'm always like kind of like making sure that I'm dressed super conservative, yeah, because I don't want any extra questions because they'll see my last name, and like, right, and in a way I feel like I don't want to disappoint them because I've already disappointed them. Aww. Because there's like this perfect mold that you're supposed to fit in, just be like the perfect proper wife, and I do feel like in a lot of ways I am that person. I'm a wonderful mother, but then I also just happen to have this job that is super looked down upon.
Don't you hate that stereotype?
Yeah,
it's like people feel like just because we're in the sex industry and in sex work, because I had an OnlyFans also, that you can't be a good mom and you can't, mm-hmm, be a good wife. Like, why? I don't understand why people feel that way. I feel like it's such an outdated male chauvinistic point of view.
Yeah, it's also because they just don't know. Like, I feel like if they walked on set one day, they'd be so shocked by how like normal and professional, yeah, and clean and, you know, it's not like people are sitting around and shooting up and then fucking.
Right.
You know,
right. And that's what people think. I always tell everybody, hoes make the best wives. Like, literally, yeah. Lena's face. She was like, mm-hmm, yeah.
Like, I'm sure that they look at you like that, yeah, when you say it.
No, but like, because, you know, I call my, you know, because I was in the sex industry. Like I said, I was an escort. So I always, like, I have In Hoes We Trust merch and stuff like that. So we use the term hoe very loosely around here. It's, yeah, not meant in a derogatory way. But I always say, you know, like, my girls that are in the industry, we all make great wives. Like, they literally, like, know how to cater to a man. They're, you know, very open sexually. You know, I cook clean like I'm a freaking maid. Like, yeah, you know, like, there, it's just a different way of life. But like you said, people just don't understand it.
No, they don't understand it. And it's like, you know, I've done so much with Adam and other women, like hundreds of scenes. And I did this one scene in July with another person, Jason. And now all of my comments are about how I'm a cheater.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how come Adam was never a cheater? Like, how come he was never seen as not loyal?
Yeah.
You know, and I make jokes all the time. Like, I'm like, oh, America's favorite wife. But it's like, I fucked one guy with my husband's permission. And, yeah, all, you know, all of a sudden, I mean, it's not like they thought very highly of me to begin with. But, right, now my reputation for them is tanked.
We're definitely going to circle back to that. So going back to the childhood, I heard in a podcast that you said that you went to college or something and you worked with autistic children.
Yeah. So I actually went to college and I got a degree in psychology up in Santa Cruz 10 plus years ago, which I'm like, I can't believe I graduated college that long ago.
Crazy.
You know, I just did. I was always like the good girl. I was like the good student. I was in student government. Like, I was a part of the, I was the secretary. Like, I just always followed all the rules. And I was like, the next thing to do is that you go to college. And so, yeah, I was the first person in my family to go to college.
Did you want to go to college?
I did. Okay. I wanted to go to college because I wanted to get out of my house.
Right.
It wasn't like I was like dying to learn. Yeah. It was like, get me the fuck out of here. This is my ticket.
How was your relationship with your parents?
My dad had already moved. My parents divorced. My dad was out of the house by that point. And I have a sister who's like 13 months younger than me. So,
oh,
we're,
wow,
very
so
close in age.
Yeah.
So I was definitely sad to be separated from her. But
oh, they split the family, or,
well,
just
when I
you
left
went
to college.
College.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My parents' divorce was like pretty ugly. We had to like see way too much of it. And, aww, I was just like, you know,
that's brutal.
Yeah.
It's
so
very hard on kids.
Yeah. It was definitely a really ugly divorce. And it just made me want to get out. Like, my entire family, I love them to death, but there's so many of them and they're like, yeah, a little bit overbearing. And it's like, everyone gets involved in everyone's business. And it's great. Like, I have so much help with my kid at home when I need it. Yeah. But that also comes with a little bit of like, oh, I just want my space. I just want to be me.
Yeah.
And so I go to college in Santa Cruz, which is like we have like 420 festival in the fields. Like, people aren't wearing shoes to class. It's very like free, aww, peace, love. And I was so happy to be there. I feel like I just learned so much about myself and got to like grow. And I mean, college is so expensive, so I wouldn't just like advise someone to go just to get out of their house.
Right.
But
I had loans are a motherfucker,
yeah,
to pay off.
But I was so lucky at the time. I had so many grants. Like, I didn't have to pay a lot for,
okay,
college. I like had,
you're
very
a smart cookie. I love that about you. You're so well spoken and eloquent also.
Thank you.
But
yeah, I was like, college was a great experience, even though I didn't necessarily use my degree. But after I graduated, yeah, I worked with kids who had autism, and then I was nannying with kids who had autism, which was like the most rewarding work ever.
Yeah,
it was great. It was sad. It was definitely sad to leave that to pivot, because I did feel a little bit of guilt there. Like, everything I was doing, I could see the wonderful consequences of. Like, one of my most rewarding things I've ever done is, like, teach a kid how to ride a bike when his parents thought just, like, he was never going to learn because he was so grown by that point, whereas, like, most kids are learning at 3 or 4, and he was, like, 8 or 9, and I taught him in, like, an hour, and they came home, and they were, like, crying. They were so happy to see him riding a bike, and, like, these kinds of things that I don't do for work anymore, obviously, I get to do with my daughter, but when I was leaving that line of work because I was, like, oh, I just want to do something different, and then I felt into sex work, there was like a little bit of guilt there, you know.
Would you ever go back to helping kids?
I don't feel like I would be allowed to work with kids anymore.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Isn't that terrible too though? Like, I understand. Yeah. I get it, but at the same time, like, would you ever circle back and do psychology again?
Maybe. I'm honestly not sure. Like, I don't really think too much about what I want to do after, because I feel like I'm so not done yet.
Right.
But I think once I'm ready to be done, I probably will end up going back to school just because I really love it. Like, I took classes online at the UCLA Extension Program for fun, like, a few years ago, just because I really do enjoy it.
I love that. Let's dive into how. Okay, so you were working with autistic children, and then is that when you made the switch into the adult industry, or how did this all begin for you?
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I started interning at like a social media company that was big on Snapchat, like 2016. And I just wanted to do something different. And I had nothing on my resume that could prove to them that like I was capable. So I basically started working for free. And then within a few weeks, they'd hired me. And we were doing all these like Snapchat takeovers, which is like you get on these big Snapchat accounts and whatever push your account. So I basically just learned about all of that and was like, well, all these girls we're working with, like, I'm as cute as them. Like, I'll just make an Instagram. And one thing led to another. And I had like a big Snapchat. And then everyone was like, well, what's your private Snapchat? And so they sort of made me this content creator by asking for that content, you know?
I love that. So you just kind of like accidentally fell into it.
That's what I say. People are like, no, you didn't. And I'm like, no, seriously, I posted a bikini photo and then they asked for the nude and I sold it to them. And that was
I love that you know? Sold it to them though, because most girls wouldn't know that. That just shows your business frame of mind though too.
Well, I mean, I was definitely like, even posting a bikini photo at the time on my Instagram was really scary to me. I was like, well, what are my aunts going to say?
Oh, they're
going to see it. You know, so it's not like I went from that to just doing porn right away.
It was kind of slow,
you know? But as I did it, I got more and more comfortable and one thing led to another. Here we are.
And did they nickname you Lena the Plug or did you come up with that? Because it's so catchy.
I honestly, sometimes I still hate it. I'm like, why didn't I pick something else?
I love it, dude.
It was like not a sex related name at all. I just have a really long Armenian last name.
I love it. What is it? It's like Narcissian.
Narcissian. And that was my Instagram. Yeah. But I was working for a social media company and he was like, sweetheart, this is not a good, like, people cannot find this last name if they want to look for your at on Instagram. Yeah. So he nicknamed me Lena the Plug because I was like a good employee. It's like the most boring story because everyone's like, is it like an anal butt plug? Like, what does it mean? I'm like, no, it's not sexy at all.
It's like the plug, right? Like a drug dealer has
kind
a plug.
Kind of like connect. Yeah.
No, I mean, that's what I've always known you as. So okay, I think I found you right before you and Adam got together or right in the beginning. I can't remember. It's been so fucking long.
Jeez, that's a long time.
I know. So take me out. You're doing Snapchat. You're crossing over into this crazy world. How are you feeling? Are you excited about it? Are you nervous? Do you think, you know, like
I was excited and nervous because that was like very early in my time on Instagram, you know, being this sort of not personality, but just like showing a lot more. So that's like when my family was finding out. And in the beginning, you know, there was a lot of like back and forth with my mom where she was
like, how was that? Touch on that for us.
You know, part of her was like, okay, this is okay. Like, this is a new world. Like, this sort of content is not seen as like as taboo. Everyone's posting bikini photos online, whatever. And then she would like see a documentary about some porn star turned heroin addict and would be like freaking out. So it was definitely like a lot of this up and down. Yeah. And then she sees someone like Adam come into my life and she's like, he looks like a bad guy. We cannot expect good things from this man, you know?
When did Adam enter the scene?
The end of 2016. Okay. Yeah.
So you were like fresh into the industry and then here comes Adam.
No, I actually, when I met Adam, I was like, hey, like everyone keeps asking me to make a private Snapchat. Like, what do you think? Like, I think I can make, you know, this much money on it. And he was like, oh, that's crazy. Like, you should totally do that. I was definitely on the fence, mostly because of like, what will my family think? Right. Will this really ruin my prospects for work in the future?
Right.
I'm 25 at that point. So I didn't have like as much life experience as I do now. I couldn't see into the future. I thought like, I'm going to make quick money for a couple months and then it's all going to be over. And will it be worth it? Like, I wouldn't have imagined that it's, you know, fast forward to 2023 and I'm still doing it. And it's
making bank, baby.
Yeah. And it's like a way bigger industry now, you know,
it's insanity.
So much more normalized. It is crazy. Yeah.
Take me back to when you and Adam met. When does Adam enter the scene? You said end of 2016. How did you guys meet?
My job at that social media company, they were like, oh, can you get us like on some podcasts? Like, can you find if they'll like work with us?
No Jumper was pretty big back then, right? 2016, or was it still growing?
I think it was still growing. It was definitely early. Like, I don't know if they had a million subs on YouTube yet. But it's funny because when I met Adam, he was like, so you don't know who the Suicide Boys are? And I was like, I have no clue. Like, I really had no clue because I found No Jumper through an EDM podcast because I liked EDM music.
Nice.
And so he really thought I was like pulling his leg. But I reached out to him to help with the company, whatever. And we just ended up like going on a date and fucking that night. And realizing we were kind of crazy and all already talking about threesomes. So
on the first night you guys meet, you guys are already talking about threesomes. That's exactly how Jay and I were.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think because were you always so open? Had you already had threesomes then and stuff like that?
I had had a few threesomes. I had a girlfriend in college. I didn't mind. Like, not that I didn't mind. I actually like really liked women.
Yeah.
And I was horny. Like, I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, threesomes are hot, you know?
So I don't see a problem with them. And I get so much hate online, especially from our side of the world, because, you know, my husband decided to go from rapper to country.
Yeah.
They don't understand it. The country fans are like, I can't believe you're in an open marriage, which we're not in an open marriage. That's not what it is. Do you and Adam consider yourselves in an open marriage? Okay.
No.
Let me hear what you guys explain what your relationship is.
I mean, to me, we're monogamous, even though he fucks other women.
Right.
Because I just know, especially now when we've done hundreds of them, it's just not a big deal.
It's
so
just sex.
I guess we're open on camera. Not fully open because I don't fuck other guys on camera yet. You know, for me in the beginning, people are always like, you don't get jealous? I'm like, no, I went through all my jealousy in the beginning, mm-hmm. like learning through being with Adam, like what I was comfortable with, what I wasn't comfortable with, how much he didn't actually care about the girl, how much it was really just about the scene and the sex. And so now I don't get jealous. But with Adam, it's like now we're back in that place for him because now we're sort of opening it up for me to work with other men within like the bounds of our relationship. And so we're just taking it slow because I don't want to like throw a bunch of things into the mix, but it's not an open relationship.
Right.
Like, I'm not texting other dudes on the side, like all these crazy imagination things that they have going on. It's just not happening.
No, I get it. And that's how Jay and I are too. It's like, if you tell a man that they can't do something, they're going to want to fucking do it and they're going to do it anyways.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, why not? And same with women. If you tell us like, hey, I'm going to be with you for the next 20 years and you can only be with me, like that's cute and all, but we're still going to have fantasies and we're still going to want to fuck other people.
Yeah. And most people do. And like, people just don't want to admit that. You
absolutely.
Know?
Yeah.
And so they
lie to their partners where we have more of an open communication.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like that builds a lot more trust. You know, like I don't sit around and tell Adam like, oh, I wish I could suck so many dicks. Like, I'm not saying
for sure.
But it's more like,
never.
Hey, like, if you're comfortable, we should try this sometime, you know? And it's like, it brings us together more after we, you know, open up our relationship with other people, like we end up fucking so much more. Yeah. We're turned on by that.
No, I
with
totally, each other. Totally understand.
So, so you guys are doing threesomes all the time too, or?
It's not all the time. We've slowed down a lot because, you know, he is in the country music industry now, but back in the day when we were first starting to tour and he was a rapper, we had so much fucking fun and we would have threesomes all the time. Now it's like we're in a different industry where, like, you guys are doing it on camera, so nobody can say, oh, you know, this and this happened, or, you know, like, so we've had to kind of dial back because you can't trust people anymore, and you don't, you know, that's all we need is fucking,
we pretty much only do it on camera now, which is like a little bit less exciting because you're constantly thinking about like opening up to the camera and like what you're saying that's gonna turn on the audience.
It's safer,
you know,
though.
It is definitely safer. Yeah. All the testing and everything. But when we first started dating, it was like we'd be at a party, we'd meet a cute girl.
Yeah, and that's then, how we used to be. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But now we've had to, you know, kind of chill on it just because, you know, people are so fucking lawsuit happy and the lies and you know, it's like it's a different world. It's a Me Too world now. Whereas back in the day in 2016 through 2019, it wasn't that bad, you know. So all right, so you guys are talking about threesomes the first night you guys met, and then you guys just kind of hit it off and take me from there.
And it's funny because Adam, like, I think looked at me as like a business project in the beginning because this is like, this is before the adpocalypse on YouTube. So you could be like a cute girl creator and just have a, you know, push up bra on and make content and get millions of views and actually make money off of it.
Right.
So he was like, we're going to make you a YouTube channel. So the YouTube channel was like his idea. And we one of the first videos that we did that went viral was like, I let my best friend have sex with my boyfriend. And it was like our first threesome with my friend Emily. And God, it's just like, I feel like that was like such a younger version of me. I'm like, I can't believe I was doing all this dumb shit on YouTube.
But it was what made you guys. Yeah. And, you know, like,
and it was really us. Like we were really going to do it regardless of if we made the YouTube video about it or not. You know, we just wanted to.
Yeah. You guys were smart to capitalize off of it though.
It's just so funny because that's like the only scene I've never filmed. Like, we didn't film it off camera. And every single day I think about how much money I left sitting on the table because I didn't really understand, like, viral YouTube video equals viral OnlyFans scene or whatever, because OnlyFans wasn't even a thing back then.
OnlyFans has been fucking crazy, man.
I know,
it's been a game changer for all of us girls. Like, I don't have it anymore. I retired in March because my husband decided to do country and I didn't want to be the only country music singer's wife with a fucking OnlyFans. Thanks, babe.
You
fucked that up for me.
Group chat, be like, who else is down to do OnlyFans?
I know, get all the wives together. Come on. Trisha Yearwood in there and shit. God, that'd be hilarious. Could you imagine? Shout out Trisha, we love you. She's just the only other hot blonde I could think of. Yeah, that would be fucking hilarious. But I mean, OF has been such a fucking game changer, dude. Like, it's I made fucking millions on, and I know you have too. And we're gonna get into that, but OF like really came in and changed the game.
Were you, so you were on private Snapchat too, or no?
I didn't do private Snapchat. I still was having a morality issue, even though I was still hooking on the Vegas Strip. I was like, if I do it, but I had this thing where it was like, if I do it behind closed doors, it's not as bad. Whereas I feel like it probably would be different if I did it on camera. Like, it would be better now if I had done it on camera. But I mean, I made so much fucking money.
But I mean, yeah, then you still get to be sort of like
private.
Yeah. So it's not like there's like a millions of screenshots of you sucking a dick.
I wasn't
online.
Ready to put my butthole on camera.
Yeah. I mean, I feel that, like, God, it's so funny because, you know, I've put really bad content online. Like, when you're filming sex stuff, especially in the beginning, I wasn't really thinking about the lighting, the angles. Yeah. I was just fucking and we were just filming it.
It's, you are your most vulnerable when you're getting plowed.
Yeah.
Period.
And I'm not looking cute. I don't even know what was going on. And then I went to AVN a few times and like, diehard fans have like printed out the fuggliest screenshots of me and being like, can you sign this please? And I'm looking at it in horror like, this is what he wants, this one, like this picture, like
you're
not like a polished photo of me.
Yeah, you're like, can you please fucking get my good angles, buddy?
Have you ever used like the fisheye lens on your phone when you're sucking dick? Because it makes your head like so long,
like a Klingon.
Yeah, and I'm looking at it like, my face doesn't actually look like this. I look like I have a six head, but okay.
I think, you know what, dudes get off on the weirdest shit, so it probably turns them on. Just any sort of like anything that's different. But so you and Adam got together and you guys started building a brand together, and like No Jumper started taking off, Lena the Plug, the whole brand started taking off, and now you guys are doing your own podcast show called
Plug Talk, where we interview our guests and then we fuck them at the end.
Who came up with this idea?
I think it was, I'm trying to remember how it actually came about. It was like pandemic, I'm pregnant. OnlyFans is going crazy. I had already had it in like 2019, 2018, but it was like going up during the pandemic and everything. Adam was like, how the fuck do I get involved in this? You know, like right. He's seeing it and he wants to be a part of it. And then I think it was him who pitched the idea of doing the podcast with the scene at the end. You know, mm-hmm. He was in all my scenes. I was making money off of his dick.
Right.
He's like, I want a piece. And so we went and we did it together, and we actually started filming them when I was pregnant. And then we had to like wait till
you guys started doing Plug Talk while you were pregnant.
I'm super pregnant in like the first few episodes.
You're
yeah.
a fucking savage girl. I love that you will get the bag at all costs. It doesn't matter. Like you're
okay,
just
but
like,
trying
go.
To suck dick when you're pregnant is so hard
because you have a gag reflex.
Such a bad gag reflex. No. It's like barely in your mouth, and you're like, all your organs are getting
you
pushed
poor
up,
baby.
But in those scenes, it's so funny because I'm like, you know, we hit up my friends basically for the first few episodes, people we had already known really well, because no one really got the concept in the beginning. Like,
yeah.
Hey, we're gonna do this podcast, sex at the end, whatever. It was like hard for me to explain. But when we were doing those first few scenes, I was like, listen, I'm fucking tired. Can you please just yeah. finish for me? Like, I was like, I'm like, I'm going to do light work here. Okay?
You're like, I'm just here to show my face and just be a presence. Just please fuck my man and get this over with.
Yeah, I'm just like, I just can't be on top anymore.
Was there ever any jealousy when you were pregnant? Like, because I know hormones are like going crazy. And
honestly, I've heard people have like a lot of like moody issues when being pregnant. I didn't have that at all.
Yeah.
I was like, whatever drug this is, I need it to be bottled up and given back to me when I'm postpartum, because
that's what Mimi said when she was pregnant with her boy.
It was
right? Was it with Cash? Yeah.
The best. Like nothing would bother me. Like if Adam said something like snarky, he might be like, okay, whatever. Let's go.
Like, you're like, just, I love you, honey.
I love you. Didn't care at all. At the pandemic. I got pregnant February 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect time to be pregnant. You don't really feel like there's any FOMO. Like no one's doing shit. You could just like take care of yourself, be in the house. I would go on like 2-hour long walks every day. I was feeling so good. Postpartum was another story. Not good.
Did you struggle with postpartum?
Yeah, I think part of it was that I didn't get like the delivery I wanted. I was really trying to do like the home birth thing. I was 43 weeks pregnant, which you're supposed to be 40 weeks pregnant when you have your baby.
Mm.
So I ended up having a C-section at the hospital during the pandemic. So I couldn't have like my team that I'd been during the whole pregnancy. I couldn't have any of them come to the hospital.
Right.
So and I got cut open, and then my the C-section is like a crazy surgery that
it's
I didn't
barbaric.
Mentally prepare myself
yeah.
for at all. And my incisions would just keep like opening up, and like I'd have to go to the doctor. It was, and then on top of that, you're taking care of this baby who
this little nugget
doesn't sleep.
Oh.
And you're fucking tired, and you're up at 3
and
in the morning
dudes
Googling
don't help for no. shit.
They sleep through everything.
Yeah.
And I'm just like Googling so every little last thing. I'm like, is it okay if they sleep with one eye closed? Like, no. Should I call the doctor?
Yeah.
Like, you know?
First time mom jitters.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, are you going to have another baby? Are you guys going to? Because you guys make really cute babies.
Thank you.
Parker's cute.
I don't want to have them, but I want more. And like
would
part
you do
of that.
It?
No, I feel like I'm still breastfeeding my 3-year-old daughter. So
wow.
I feel like I cannot give her 3 years of breast milk and then give my other baby nothing. Like,
right.
I feel like it would be unfair.
Right.
But it is hard with like our work, because I feel like, okay, I would take off most of the pregnancy.
A year, yeah.
And then you need to take off postpartum.
Yeah.
Because your body's getting back to normal, and you just like that baby needs you 24/7.
Yeah.
So part of me wants to like retire and then have more babies, but I don't know when that's gonna be.
I was gonna say, you guys are on such a high right now. Let's talk about, okay, so you guys are doing Plug Talk. You guys are kicking ass with that. It's a huge podcast now. I've watched
yeah,
it grow from like the beginning. I think it's amazing what
Thank
you guys
you.
Are doing.
I didn't believe in it in the beginning. I'm like, no one's gonna watch this. No one's gonna come to the party. Like, that's me. And Adam is just like, this is gonna be the best fucking podcast ever. And I like, I need that. Like,
yeah.
I need someone to bring him down, and I need someone to bring me up. You
yeah,
know?
Absolutely. So take me on your conversation where you guys, because Adam's been fucking different girls for years now.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, like your guys' thing. Have you always wanted to sleep with other men, or you just didn't know how to ask him? Or
I wouldn't say always.
Finally,
no.
Time.
I think it was like maybe 4 or 5 years into it where I was kind of just like I know that I'm leaving something on the table by not doing something with another man, like because my fans have been asking for it for
right.
so long. They're like, hey, we love you and Adam together, but we really want to see you with someone else. And obviously, there was part of me that was like curious about it sexually, but mostly from a business point of view, I was like, hey, like I really want to do this for my OnlyFans. And it was pretty much always a no, like that is not on the table, until eventually it was a yes. And I can't really say like what exactly made Adam change his mind, but I think
he probably saw the monetary value in it.
I think it, like, part of it is that he's always been a little open. It's more like that the world is not open, right? You know, like during that whole, we call the Jason Love saga, like, yeah. He was not painted in a nice way. Yeah. And even now it's like, you know, that's not your wife. That's everyone's wife. Right. Like that's how everyone sees him. And it's because he's in the hip hop space and everything where that's just like totally frowned upon. They would be like upon.
That anywhere else too. It's not just the hip hop space. Like,
so I think if it was not for those criticisms, he probably would have been on board a lot earlier. And, you know, Adam and I actually had one threesome with another dude in our personal life, like very early before we were like officially boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah.
We always thought it was hot.
Yeah.
But I feel like Adam didn't want to admit to himself that he thought it was hot, right? Because at the time we did that, I was just some girl. And then when I became like his woman, it was like, well, is it wrong for me to actually want to do that?
To get off
with
on,
my primary like lover and not just some girl.
Does he like watching you with other men?
I would say that he enjoys it, even though maybe he doesn't always want to actually like admit it like that. Yeah. Like, I'm like, your dick got harder. Like, I know you enjoy it. Like, it's in my mouth. I feel it.
Yeah, us women know our men.
Yes.
I hate that everybody online is like calling him a cuck and stuff like that, because it's like, you guys are just literally having fun living out people's fantasies. And I feel like everybody's always trying to put people in a box. Mm-hmm. It's like everybody has to have a stereotype or some fucking sort of name. And it's just ridiculous.
It's also this like weird high school mentality where like if one person fucks one person, everyone's talking about it all the time. It's
right.
Like all they could focus on, like so-and-so fucked. Like, I don't ever think about the fact that I have had sex with other men around, like day to day. I'm not thinking about it. It's not this like thing that I carry with me, but everyone else is carrying it with them. Like, it's just something that we did once and then it passed, you know. Yeah. Living my life, you know.
Have you always been into black men, or how did you guys choose Jason Love? Like,
okay, so the Jason thing wasn't like, let's pick a black guy. It was like, I didn't know that many male porn stars, and I had signed for Vixen at AVN a few times. So I had like gotten to know Jason a little bit, and like Adam had met him before, and I've only ever heard positive things about him from other girls in the industry. Like, he's super sweet, very respectful, whatever. And obviously he's like popular on social media. So I was between two guys and I ended up hitting up Jason, and Jason responded to me first. I didn't realize the black man thing was gonna be such a big deal.
Oh, BBC.
I wasn't thinking about
fetish.
It.
It's
yeah,
a fetish.
And I wasn't thinking about that at all. And I had some of my girlfriends in the industry being like, oh, like you should charge a lot. Like, this is your first like scene with a black guy. And I'm like, oh, I just didn't think about it like that at all. And I feel like the people who made the most commentary like that were like other black people. Like, how could you, like, Adam, how could you let your wife fuck another black man? Like, coming from other black men. And I'm like, why are we doing this? Like, this
why do you care?
Yeah, like, and why is
there's
he,
no color? It's all love.
But why is he so different? Like, you know, it's like, oh, I mean, I guess it's that like once you go black, you don't go back mentality that people are fearing. Like, oh, she's never gonna be the same or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't think about it like that at all. I wasn't like, I'm gonna find a black guy. I was like, I'm gonna hit up Jason because I've met Jason and he's cool.
Yeah. So you guys are doing. All right, let's talk about the Jason Love thing. So the way you promoted it was insane. I watched it. I was like, she is so fun. Because I'm very business savvy too. So I watch how people do things. And the way you guys rolled it out was fucking perfect, dude. Like, it was insane the way that you just teased it and just the day that it dropped. Like, take me on take me on the set of the scene when you had to go do it.
Oh my God. Okay, so I didn't know that we were going to shoot that scene until the day before. Like,
wow.
Yeah. So I had asked Jason if he would want to shoot a scene with me. Let me know next time you're in LA. And it was like many weeks before, and maybe like forgot. I don't know. But I was like on Instagram, and it was a Saturday, and I was like, oh, shit, he's in LA. So I hit him up and I was like, hey, like, how long are you here? He was like, oh, I can shoot with you tomorrow. And I was like, oh, fuck. Okay.
Don't you love how dudes are just like, here's the dick on demand.
Yeah. Like, all right, we're shooting tomorrow. And it was awkward for me because on the weekends, Adam and I don't work. We're family people and like, aww, we're hanging out as a family. And I was like, babe, I'm shooting this tomorrow. I have to go buy lingerie right now. And it was kind of awkward. I was like, I have to leave this like family scenario, which we always do family time. And I have to like go buy lingerie, go buy heels, go do all these things to sleep with another man. And that felt weird for me.
Was Adam weird about it at all?
Honestly, it wasn't a big conversation. Yeah. It was like, hey, Jason's available tomorrow. Can I shoot? And he was like, okay. And then like
he probably had to work through some shit himself.
Yeah, he called me back 2 minutes later. He's like, hey, come here. I was like, okay. He's like, don't kiss him and don't get a facial. And I was like, okay.
He's such a Sagittarius. My husband's a Sagittarius. And it's like they will never admit when they're jealous. They'll never show it, but it's like they'll do little things where it's like you know that something's bothering them.
Yeah, like few words, but you know there's something under there.
Yeah.
And then the next day I was gonna go to shoot the scene and I'm like, just bye. Like we didn't really talk about what was gonna happen. He decided he was gonna play poker all day online that day, which is like perfect thing for him to do because
to zen out.
Totally distracted. Yeah. Loves poker.
That's how my husband is with video games.
Oh yeah, just go do that.
Yeah.
I was so nervous. Aww. I was really, really, really nervous.
Even though you've shot other scenes with girls and your husband.
So yeah, for me it was different because I guess I felt guilt because it was always a no in our relationship. So the fact that it was like a yes, you can
do
this.
It was a setup.
Kind of. I was like worried about the aftermath, like what will this mean for our relationship. I was excited for the scene, but like also like I'm like, well, what if I don't do a good job? He's like a professional, you know, like all these like insecurities and stuff. And I actually wanted to get a lot more promo content, but like once he arrived on set, I was so nervous. I just like rushed through all of it. I was like, okay, let's do the scene. And I remember I kept making so many excuses for why like the scene couldn't start. I was like, I need another drink of water. I'll be right back. And just like kept leaving and coming back. And yeah, I was bad.
Who shot the scene? Were you recording yourself? I didn't watch it.
No, but I had a filmer and he was like, you know, it's okay. Like this can be fine. Like trying to talk me through it. My assistant like had been like out of town that weekend, so she couldn't like be there for my moral support. Aww. And yeah, I was like, I don't have my girls. Like it was scary for me.
So how did you guys finally set the mood and just get into it? Did you have to just kind of like buck up and be like, all right, I'm gonna put my big girl panties on?
Yeah,
take my big girl panties off. And
I was like, okay, I'm gonna suck another dick, it's gonna be okay. I'm like talking to myself while he's taking his pants off. I'm like, okay, it's okay, you're allowed to do this. Like Aww. I was given permission to do this.
Was he the first dude that you had been with since you and Adam had gotten together?
Yeah, so been like 6 or 7 years. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
I would have probably puked. I get like panic attacks, so I would have just probably started puking.
Right?
Like I would have been so
And
nervous.
No one believes me. They're like, I'm sure you were so nervous when you were sucking that dick. And I really was.
Listen, my husband allows me to have little cabana boys if I want them. I don't because I talk so much shit. I'll be like, I need to go find me a cowboy or like talk shit, you know?
Uh-huh.
And if it ever came down to it, I would probably run the other way. Just because once you've been in that comfort with somebody for so long, it's not like you're dick crazy.
Yeah.
You're not like, oh my God, I'm going to go hop on this dick. And like, that's an energy exchange. And now that I'm older too, like I just am like, I don't, man, what are you going through before I put your dick in me type situation, you know? So I totally understand. I would be completely nervous too. I probably wouldn't have been able to do it.
Yeah. I mean, just a few weeks before that, I was out with a girlfriend and like these guys kept trying to dance with me. I was running to the other side of the room. I was terrified.
We have no game, Lena.
You know, I was like, oh my God, they're trying to dance with me. She's like, it's okay. Just tell them to stop. I'm like, okay. Like,
you're like, I've been out of the game for so long. I don't know what to do. And that also shows that you respect your husband though, too.
Oh, for sure. You know? Yeah, totally. I mean, even so our scene, we have a scene that's coming out tonight. So by the time that you see the podcast, it's out. It's like we did this reality show for the love of Lena. And then there was a winner and the winner gets to fuck me with my husband. I know, ridiculous concept. But we filmed the scene and it comes out tonight. And when we were filming that scene, it was so awkward for me in the beginning. Like Adam is over there touching himself to get hard. The guy's over there touching himself to get hard. And I'm like not looking at the guy, even though I'm supposed to have sex with him in like 2 minutes. I'm like, don't look at him. Don't look at him. Like, you know,
it's just because you just want to make sure that you don't hurt Adam's feelings.
Which is what he does when we work with other girls. Yeah. You know, it's not like he's like looking into their eyes and telling them how gorgeous they are. You know, he's like, we're doing a threesome or whatever. But
yeah.
So yeah, it was just new territory for me. And I was like, okay, like I don't fluff him. I just fluff him. And like, you know, it was weird.
So you got the Jason love scene over with and it drops on OnlyFans. Take me on that ride. Because can I ask how much you made off that? Is that rude to ask?
No, it's not rude to ask.
I just want to know because I think it's fucking amazing.
I would say with the total, like from all the months, like of how much traffic that drove to my OnlyFans, I've probably made $1 million off that one scene.
Good for you, mama.
Yeah, so yeah, it was a lot.
That's amazing. You could retire if you want to, and why don't you? I'm sure a lot of people have always wanted to ask you that.
You know, I think when I was first postpartum, I was kind of thinking about it. Like, I lost my Instagram with 3.5 million followers. Yeah, still never got that it back.
Terrible.
So I felt like my identity was shattered in a way because I was like, had this new identity of motherhood. And like at the time, so many OnlyFans creators had come in. And I was like, you know, how do you separate yourself and differentiate yourself from this sea of new creators? And since I had lost like my one of my main sources of promotion, I was kind of like, well, fuck, should I just sit down? Like, should it be over? And I was super emo at the time because all of my hormones and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess I just really have to give it to Adam, you know, like he is positive to a fault at times. Yep. And he just really like he took care of me, you know, like I had that probably that same conversation with him 100 times, crying about poor me, I lost my Instagram, nobody cares about me, blah blah blah, whatever, like all this kind of stuff. And if I didn't get through that with him, I probably wouldn't have gotten to see this, because you know there's a part of me that feels like, oh shit, like you're 30 something now, and like I don't think that's old, but
still
in this industry,
it's
old.
Yeah, ageism is a really,
you know,
horrible. I'm 43 and people throw that in my face all the time.
Like, how is, like, we get older and people, I love when people are like, you look older now. It's like, I've been online for 8 years.
Yeah, it's like,
see me age.
Yeah, let me age. But also, like, Kim Kardashian is 43, 44. Yeah. Angelina Jolie, like, some of the most beautiful women in the world are older women. And it's like, why is it okay for them to be beautiful? But like girls that are in the sex industry, it's not allowed. We're not allowed. We have to literally stay 18 and 21 forever.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like but a lot of the really popular girls are older. I mean, maybe they don't know their age,
yeah,
but it's like you have to accrue some experience and then you get better.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I look at Angela White. I don't know how old she is exactly.
Gorgeous.
But she's definitely like on the older end of the industry. And she, when you ask most people, she is their favorite performer.
Absolutely.
She's amazing. She gives it her all every single
she's
day.
She's got those jugs.
She
too,
kills
man.
It. Yeah. Beautiful. Oh, one of my faves. But so I guess like I had all of these thoughts in my head, and then to see that I'm still able to do all this right now, I kind of just want to see where it goes, which is why I'm not retired. I really don't know when I'll want to, especially like Plug Talk still feels so new.
Yeah.
And if I retired, like what would that become?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, at some point I will have to retire and we'll have to see what that becomes. But yeah, I guess I just want to see where it goes from here.
I always say never jump off a winning horse.
Yeah.
Like, and maybe that's because I grew up in Vegas, but it's like, you guys have such a good thing right now and it's just going.
Yeah.
It's like, why end it now? You know?
Yeah. And I'm still excited about it. Like every single day, you know, I don't want to wait until I have one fan on OnlyFans before I retire, but you know, maybe somewhere in the middle where it just, I guess I want to retire.
The Madonna of OnlyFans.
When it doesn't like feel good anymore.
Right.
You know, where I'm like, eh.
When it feels like a job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Being a mom in this industry, how do you navigate around that? And like, how do other moms treat you? Because I'm sure everybody that is around knows that. Is she in school yet? She's not in school yet, right?
She's in school.
Is she?
And I have to say, I always shit myself when there's like parent events at the school. Mm-hmm. Like, I find myself like trying not to talk to the other parents, like as if there's like a big A on my forehead or something.
Like you got the scarlet letter.
Yeah, exactly. I need to work on it. It's like I'm like mentally addressing this now.
I'm
because
the same
she's
way
in school.
With parents though too. It's hard.
I'm just like I want them to like me, but I like want them to know me as just a person before I sort of lay out what I do for work, because then maybe I'll have a better chance. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm also lucky because I feel like a bunch of my friends in the industry are all having babies now, so maybe we could just have a little club where all of us
literally
hang out with
your own
other.
Little cult. Do you ever get scared? Because I feel like women that are in the industry, their children get targeted more online. Like I noticed you guys started crossing out Parker's face and stuff like that, which I kudos to you because I think that's amazing. She's a beautiful little girl too, and there's so many creeps in this world.
Honestly, so I'm a little sad about it because I was making like 1 minute vlogs with her every day that I was posting on like a mom
TikTok
page.
Could you blur her face out?
I did like one vlog maybe a month ago where I felt I had Adam film everything from the back. We went to see Taylor Swift. We love Taylor Swift. Yeah. But so I'm not making that content anymore, which for me is sad because I would like upload all that to Dropbox. I was like, these are I'm making TikToks, but these are like family memories, right. You know? And so we're not posting her anymore, mostly because during that whole Jason Love thing, people were just posting photos of her on Twitter and going viral with like many millions of views being like this poor kid.
Yeah.
And to me, that's over the line.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
Like.
Absolutely. That happened with I posted a Halloween picture with Bailey, my bonus baby. She's 16. She'll be 16 next year. It went kind of viral on TikTok or on Twitter. And I was just like, it scared me. I was like, that is disgusting.
It feels like, disturbing to look at that picture and be like, wow, there's so many eyeballs on it. And for like a negative reason.
Connotation,
you know? And I'm glad that she's not like old enough to see it and read it and all that. But it's like, what? Okay, let's just stop this now. I don't want to see where this goes kind of thing.
When she gets older, are you going to be open with her about your lifestyle?
I mean, I'm probably not going to like be like, hey, we're going to have a threesome this weekend. But yeah, but I mean,
for sure.
Yeah, I will definitely be honest with her because I'm not ashamed about what I do. And I don't feel bad about it. I have worries about how other people might treat me or treat her because of it.
Yep.
And for that, I guess I'll feel like a little sad. Like if someone's like, oh, I can't be friends with you because my mom doesn't like your mom. Mm-hmm. Like that will suck.
Yep.
But I feel like that the life lesson behind that will be that like we don't want to be friends with people who just don't understand us, you know, like
absolutely. That happened with our daughter and us. She's been told so many times like you can't go over their house because we don't like their parents, or it was really bad in the beginning when she was in like elementary and junior high. It was like, oh, your mom's a porn star, your dad's this and blah blah blah. And then now that she's in high school, we're like the coolest parents ever. So it's like, you guys will go through it, but I promise you when they get to high school, it's a complete.
But do the parents still have a problem?
Even No. Everybody loves us. Like, it's just so crazy. Now I have problems with parents. I'm like, now I get to be choosy about who our kid hangs out with, you know?
I know. I feel like people are going to think like, oh, she must be a bad mom just because she does this for work. And I'm not like strict, but I'm stern. I don't know.
Well, you have to be because I'm sure Adam's going to be fun dad because my husband is fun dad. No, it pisses me off. I'm like, you need, and because Parker's a little girl, she's always going to be like putty in his hands, you know, because that's how Bailey is with Jay. And sometimes I'm like, dude, you need to get mean with her. Yeah. The only way she's going to straighten out is if you use that certain tone of voice, you know? So yeah, we're the ones who have to kind of like make the rules so that they stick by them.
I know. And then they're mad at you, but then they always come to you and they need something.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely. It's good cop, bad cop. It works out though. I promise.
I'm like, fuck.
Selena Powell, let's talk about this situation. So you let Adam fuck her for his first scene? Was that a real thing or what was that about?
So she wanted to come back on Plug Talk and she wanted to work with Adam. And I was like, I don't want to be part of this scene. Not because I like don't like her or anything, but because she has told me that she doesn't really like having sex with girls.
Right.
So when I hear something like that, I'm like, well... Like, I'm sure a lot of the girls I fuck don't like having sex with girls, but they didn't tell me.
Right.
So I'm like, you got that with my husband. Like, I have no beef with her. She still scares me because I never know if it might flip. We've had a semi-tumultuous relationship. Yeah. A little unpredictable.
Well,
but right now we're on good terms.
It started out with her, like, wanting Adam, right? Or something like that.
And I'm sure it was
I don't
a
know
joke
the whole story.
She kept saying that she doesn't even like white guys. Like
I was going to say, I don't think she does like white dudes.
No, so I think this was her first scene with a white guy is what she was saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was like, white guys. And I was like, you're about to fuck my husband.
So they did the scene by themselves.
They did this. I was there. I was on set that day. We did all the photos together. We made some TikToks. And then, I was like, okay, go have fun. They went in the other room together.
How did Adam feel? Was that like weird for him because you weren't there? Because that was like, does he fuck other girls without you
at
all?
I guess that was I always forget that happened. But yeah, no, he's done it twice.
Right.
Once I made a girl feel bad because she was going to cancel on us. I was like, don't cancel. We have the whole team booked. And she flew to LA to do a scene for Plug Talk. And I woke up with food poisoning.
Oh, no.
So I was like, Adam, I'm so sorry. You have to take one for the team. You have to fuck her.
Adam's like, shucks, babe.
I know. And he comes like, he's like, oh, it was okay. Like, I'm like, just, you had fun. It's okay. You can
have fun. Like, it's okay.
I was puking my guts out. Like, it's okay. But I felt I didn't want to cancel on her when I, like, you know, made her come to set. So.
So was that like, did Adam want to have sex with Selena or did he think it was going to be a good marketing strategy? Was it more?
I think it was both.
Yeah.
I think part of him was like, well, I've known her for years. Adam would prefer to fuck everyone he knows.
Yeah.
He likes to say he wants to get all the awkward tension out of the way.
Yeah.
And then he could just be normal friends.
Yeah.
So, yeah, throughout the years, he's always said, oh, like, yeah, like we can do something with Selena. And I was like, I don't know, because I like was always afraid of her. Like,
yeah.
She doesn't really have the best rep online. So I was always afraid, yeah. Like, what will it do to me if I have sex with her?
Yeah.
But
she's been wanting to come on the podcast, but she scares me, too. I'm like, I don't know, Selena.
She'd be a fun guest.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we've had our rough patches, I would say. But yeah,
yeah.
I think part of it was the marketing thing with Adam. And then, yeah, he wanted to fuck her.
Gotcha. Because I was just like, out of all the girls, like, you guys could have your fucking pick of the litter. I was like, he picked Selena. So
he won't tell me who he wants, though. He'll never be like, oh,
really?
I want this girl. Like, no. I can tell because he'll mention a girl one too many times, but he'll never, like, be so forward.
Right.
He one time accidentally posted his Pornhub search history on Instagram. Like, and I had to be like, yo, did you see what you just posted on your story?
What was it?
He was looking up our friend True Kate when he was jerking off. But, like, he will never tell me which girls he thinks are prettier,
yeah.
Or whatever. So, like, he one time exposed himself and I was like, you think Kate is hot?
I've never seen her. What is she, blonde, brunette?
No, she has brown hair. She's very pretty.
Yeah.
Most people say about her that she doesn't look like she does porn. Like, she just looks like a
innocent,
like
girl,
a
next
good
door.
Girl who would work at the bank or something.
Yeah.
And I guess
that's the type that my husband's into too. Like, innocent, like young looking, not young. That sounds so terrible, but like pure. Is that what I'm trying to say? Like,
yeah.
It doesn't look like a slut, I guess you could say.
Do you feel offended by that, though? Because
no.
People, no.
I don't feel offended. I'm not my husband's type. I tell everybody that. I've never been Jay's type. He's
okay.
Never been my type, ever. He loves tiny brunettes. And I talk about this on the podcast all the time. But he likes super tiny brunettes. I love goth dudes. I like dudes that wear makeup, that are musicians. Like, that's my jam, you know? So we're, like, complete, each other's complete opposite. But it fucking works. And I love him to death. And he loves me.
That's
and it's
so
just,
funny. Like, I don't know if I could handle it if I knew that happened. Like I always in my head, like, make it up that he wants, like, a 90-pound Asian girl. Like, in my head, I'm like, he wants someone that's not me.
Aww.
But I feel like I just made that up to piss myself off.
Yeah.
But I don't know what he actually wants.
What is his type? Do you know his type?
I feel like he dated goth girls in high school.
Yeah.
So probably part of him is still into that. Like,
right.
You know, and he has all these tattoos, so when we have girls on set who have tattoos, they're always like, she looks like she's supposed to be my girlfriend. He'll make jokes like that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I don't look like, you know, your type or whatever. But
what's your type? Is Adam your type? Or
I wouldn't say Adam was my type. I don't know what my type was at the time. I had a girlfriend for 4 years at, like, just a couple years before I met Adam, and that was my most recent relationship. I feel like my type was just whoever I fall for.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up falling for Adam, and I probably wouldn't have expected, like, his look.
Do you prefer women over men?
In terms of their company, yes.
Absolutely. You know, I agree,
yes,
with you 100%.
Yes.
But, like, sexually, because you said you were in a relationship for 4 years. How did that even begin? Like, how did you know that, you know, you were like, because being in a relationship with another woman, you got to have some fucking strength, dude. I'm too violent for that.
What?
if we got in an argument and she popped off, we'd be wrestling.
Oh, my God. No. I've never, like, had a screaming match, with anyone.
Yeah.
Like, even Adam.
What is, like, I'm so peaceful.
Yeah, I'm the kind of person that, like, if me and Adam fight, we will walk away, and then an hour later we'll be texting each other, like,
yeah,
the whole fight.
That's,
like,
how I am now. But back,
yeah,
in the day, I just, there's no way, because I just feel like, I don't know, like, I just feel like being in a relationship with another female would be like being with, like, I don't want to say a sister because that sounds so weird, but, like, it would be like, I don't know, like, the boundary. How do you draw that boundary with somebody of, like,
so long ago now that I can't even remember, like, any of our fights, but we started as best friends who would make out when we were drunk.
Yeah.
And then we were just like, this feels good. Like, let's do it. And we didn't really think much about it.
4 years is a long time.
No, we were, yeah, 4 years. I know. It was like the whole time I was in college. And also, where I was at college, like, it was very LGBTQ friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of the people in my friend group ended up coming out. Like, we were just, like, a group with, like, queers and gays and lesbians, and we didn't question it. We were just, like, doing it. No one,
yeah,
was like, so how long have you been gay? It was just like, this just feels good. We're just fucking,
yeah,
doing it. And that's, like, where I was in my life. And I mean, I do feel like it ended because I wanted to be with men as well.
Yeah.
So I do feel like I'm more sexually attracted to men, but I love being with women.
Yeah.
I love the way women touch me, like when we're doing girl-girl stuff and, you know, just they're softer than men. I don't know.
So you get to like have your cake and eat it too.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So tell me about this TV show that you guys made.
Oh.
I would love to hear about this.
It is so ridiculous. If you get a chance to watch it, it is pretty entertaining.
I love how self-aware you are, though, and that you laugh at things and, you know.
It was so ridiculous. Like, okay, because after the whole Jason Love thing, which honestly did not think it was going to be as big as it was. I was like, yeah. I hope I make an extra 50K. That was literally my mind process.
I like, love that. And then you get surprised. That's how I was when I first got on OF. I was like, I'll just make 10 grand. I was like really lowballing it and then fucking.
Yeah. I want to set my expectations low.
Yeah.
And then be really excited. And then so I feel you're good, wowed. You know? Yeah. So after we saw that, we were kind of just like, oh, all these people are paying attention to this thing that like we, especially people in the porn industry, like, are you fucking kidding me? They're getting attention because she fucked another guy. Like, we do this shit every single day.
Yeah.
But we sort of were like, let's play into that. You
guys
know?
Did it right, though. You guys, you know, like capitalized.
Waited until we got married. Well, people are like, why did they do this right after marriage?
I feel like you guys turned up after Parker. Like, I feel like after you had the baby, you kind of took a little time off and then you fucking came out the gate like ready to roll.
Well, we had all the Plug Talk episodes in the can. Yeah. When I was pregnant, and then once I had her a few months later, we dropped them all. So mm-hmm. It was like Plug Talk sort of took off right after that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, honestly, as mastermindy as I look, like, it kind of all just happened, right? In a way, you know, like the people made the memes. I didn't make the memes. Like, I just posted the content and they made it go crazy. Right. And so coming off of that, we were kind of like, Adam was like, well, now I'm open to doing like a boy girl with you. And I was like, let's do a YouTube video, like a funny YouTube video where we have like 10 contestants and we see like who the winner will be to be in the threesome with us. And then he was like, no, let's do a fucking reality show series. Like, we just sort of had this brainstorm and then we hired like a really legit production company and actually turned it into a really funny TV show.
Yeah. Do you guys have people trying to buy the show from you or anything?
No, we have it on YouTube. We've never really tried to like partner that much because at least me personally, I'm always like, well, I do porn. No one's going to want to fuck with me.
Right.
You know? And that's the great thing about having a platform like YouTube, and we put it out on YoJumper and they have a bunch of subs, you know? So we were able to do it ourselves. But maybe if we do a season two and we get approached or something, we could do it with the company.
I feel like the world is a lot more open now than to there's sex a lot work. More
networks, you know, it's not like maybe Netflix doesn't want it, but there's like other
Zeus and like all those other ones.
Yeah, exactly. But
would you guys be open to signing on to do a reality show?
Because
you lose your I don't want to say authenticity, but you lose the control also.
Yeah.
And I don't like people controlling the narrative of our
family.
Exactly.
And my fear Chachi. With real reality shows is that they want you to be really, really drama filled. And like,
yeah,
Adam and I don't fight that much. Like, I feel like we got a bunch of our fights out in the beginning and then after Parker was born when we were like learning how to parent together. But I feel like for the most part, we get everything until maybe another wrench gets thrown into our relationship. So we would have to fake a lot.
That's a real relationship, though, is like, you know, you guys are going to hit little, you know, waves, but it's like, it's how you guys navigate through them and how you guys learn together. That's what a relationship is all about.
Yeah. And I feel like that's not good for reality.
Yeah.
TV,
no,
you know?
For sure. Yeah.
Because they want me to like throw a bottle in his face.
Yeah.
And, you know,
no,
so it would have,
that's toxic culture.
It would have to be the right reality show because I wouldn't, it would be really hard for me to not be myself.
Right.
You know, I can't imagine it. I'm trying to picture it. Like,
so take me on this show. So you had what, 7 guys?
We had, I think there was 10 of them in the beginning. And we had like adult performers and some comedians, you know, for comedic effect. And we filmed it over 2 days. So we got 4 episodes out of 2 days. We all were in a house doing all of these like competitions, like tug of war, like all
that's a grueling
trivia,
schedule.
Like,
that's a grueling schedule to shoot a whole show in 2 days like that.
Yeah. It was fun. It was really fun. I was like, oh, 10 guys battle for me. Ha ha ha. Like, I am the prize. This is so fun. You know?
Was there ever any jealousy on Adam's part during that? Did you guys, like, when you guys lay down in bed, do you guys ever just kind of, like, talk about, like, the day and, like, how you guys are feeling and stuff like that?
For sure. Always. Trying to think if there was any jealousy. I mean, I had to, like, turn it up with the guys, like I was flirting with them on set and everything. And he got it. Like he didn't want to be around for it on set. He was like, you go do your thing. I'm not going to watch. Yeah. But then like when the footage all came out, I was like, hey, just so you know, like in this scene, I get pretty like feisty with the dudes. Like, you know, you're going to watch this. And he's like, okay. Like puts on his strong man hat. He's like, it's for TV. It's for the content. I'm like, yes, it's for the content, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And then so you guys have a winner and the episode's dropping tonight.
The episode to announce the winner came out on Monday. So all four episodes of the series are out. And then we filmed a scene with the winner and that comes out tonight.
Yeah. And does that get shown on your OnlyFans?
On the Plug Talk OnlyFans.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, we did like an interview with him and then we did the scene at the end. So just like a regular Plug Talk except with two guys, which I don't think we've ever done that before.
How was the scene? How did the scene go? Do you hook up with both of them at the same time?
Yes.
Okay.
Which... it's hard because your mouth is never open to talk. So you're just like getting fucked.
Yeah.
I'm just like sandwiched between them and I'm like, I hope this looks hot. It feels good. Yeah. But I'm like squished. So I hope it looks really hot. It was interesting. It was like, it was something new to navigate within our relationship.
Right.
Because we do these orgies for Plug Talk, like live orgies, where we just turn the camera on and we have a bunch of people fucking. And I don't participate with the other guys. Like, I just fuck Adam. But I'm always trying not to look at them. I'm like, right. Just look at your husband.
That's got to be so confusing because there's so many sounds and, like, just people and around. Sometimes it's like, where do you look?
I like watching porn. I just want to watch them. Yeah. But then I don't want the camera to capture me watching because then they're going to think... They're going to be like, oh, Lena wishes she was fucking that guy. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm just always thinking about the feedback. Mm-hmm. But then we're in this setting and it's me, Adam, and the winner, who's Little D. Everyone knows that now. And he's like, you know, he's jerking off and Adam's jerking off and I'm helping Adam get hard. And then he's over there and I'm like, can I help him over there? Like, you know, it was just like this new territory. And I think Adam was really into it. So good. I'm looking forward to more.
I love that. Even though you sexualize yourself, mm-hmm. do you ever get tired of being over sexualized? Because I've had moments where I'm like, okay, I'm done posting shit like this. Like, I'm going to post I've kind of completely changed my Instagram over from, you know, being the thought queen to, like, mm-hmm. now I'm fully clothed and, like, shooting more comedic content and stuff like that. But then, you know, I'll get a wild hair at my ass and I'll be like, you know what? I miss the hoe days. I want to post, you know, a naked photo, and then it shocks my new fan base. They're like, oh, my God, put your clothes on. Why does your husband let you dress? Yeah. You know, do you ever just get tired of being over-sexualized?
I feel like I've put things into place that help me not feel that way, like having the other Instagram and then, you know, when I had Touchy Subject very temporarily. But yeah, I agree. Like with Plug Talk, I always find myself holding back on certain questions mm-hmm. that are maybe like a little bit more human about the girl, like mm-hmm. where I just really want to get to know them on a deeper level. But because the podcast is to jerk off to, it goes on OnlyFans. We keep it like a little more surface level and horny and whatever. And so in that sense, I'm like, oh, well, I'm not showing my true self, or maybe they would learn a little bit more about me, but mm-hmm. I have to play this sexual character. Mm-hmm. And that's part of where the idea for Touchy Subject had come from originally. Cause I was like, oh, well, I have more questions. Like, I want to know more.
What about like in your everyday life? Is there ever times that you're just like, God, I don't want to shoot this scene, or I don't want to be touched this week? Or is there ever a moment like that that ever crosses your mind?
Yeah. I would say like when I overbook myself, sometimes we're shooting one or two times a week. And then some weeks it just happens so that we're shooting five or six times that week because, you know, certain girls were in town and we had to get them on the schedule.
Yeah.
And those weeks I'm like, oh, I feel like the fun is getting sucked out of it a little. It's becoming like a routine. And then I'm not having sex outside on my personal life because I'm like, I already got fucked so much. I'm good. You know, like, so on those weeks, which we try not to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We try to like keep it less frequent so it is really exciting every single time, and we can make the girls always feel special during their interviews and things like that.
Yeah.
So I don't want to get dolled up every single day.
Yeah, no, trust me. I tell them all the time, I now know why Britney Spears shaved her head. Because there's some weeks that I'm like, I don't want to fucking do hair and makeup. I don't mm-hmm. want to be in front of a camera. But, you know, it's like we chose this life and we're so thankful and we're so blessed for it.
Yeah,
so.
But I'm really, like, it's December. I'm really looking forward to slowing down. Like, I want to stay in my house and get really good at making sugar cookies.
Yeah.
I feel like every year I try to do them and I fuck them up. I'm like, I want to get better.
I can't bake for shit. I can cook a fucking meal.
Baking
I can't bake
is
for
hard.
Shit. It's scientific. Yeah. Like, I swear to God, like, you have to really measure shit. And I don't got the patience for that.
I've been reading. I'm doing a lot of research. I like bought special pans and special sugar, and I'm gonna try.
You're gonna do it. You're gonna crush it.
I wanna get good at it.
What can we expect from you guys coming up in the future?
Oh God, I honestly don't even know. Like, I didn't know that the things that happened this year were going to happen. And I feel like I've been doing so much that I haven't been able to just sit with myself and like have purpose in a way. Like, mm-hmm. let's think purposefully about our life. Like, what do we want? And I have it in my calendar to do that this month, like, aww. Because the next year is coming.
Yep.
And this year was such a roller coaster, but I didn't think I would have been able to accomplish the things that I did this year. And that's kind of given me the confidence and the motivation to be like, okay, what the fuck else can we do?
Yeah.
Like, let's brainstorm, let's get this, let's do it. So I feel like there's like a new fire and I'm excited to see what happens next year. I don't know what it is yet, but there will be things coming.
I love that. You know what I do with my family every year? And this is just an idea for maybe you, Adam, and Parker to do together. Every year I make the family, and I say make because I had to start out by making them and now they look forward to it. We make vision boards.
Oh,
and
fun.
Every year we get like a pile of magazines. We sit at the dinner table. We talk about the year and we just cut out what we want for our vision board. And then we write our goals on the back.
That's
and
really cute.
At the end of the year, we go back and we revisit last year's vision boards. And then we make the next year's vision boards. And
where
I
do you put yours? Because I'm like, I don't want anyone to see me.
I put them behind a mirror. So I'll put them behind a mirror so that I always know that they'll be safe. Because we have this huge like mirror in our living room, dining room. And I'll just put all of ours together and I put them behind the mirror. And then we just bring them back out the next year or, you know, the end of the year.
I always want to leave like little notes to myself, like all over like my mirror. And then I'm like, people are going to see these.
Yeah.
And they're going to make fun of me. Like my housekeeper, she's be like, cleaning the glass, like reading my notes.
But it's like affirmations, and those are good for you. People, you need that. You need to wake up in the morning and have an affirmation or a goal or something like that. There's nothing wrong with that. Fuck everybody. It's your house. If you want to leave them everywhere, leave them. Lena, thank you for coming on. Why don't you tell people where to find you online if they aren't already following you, and also shout out your OnlyFans, your YouTube, Adam's podcast, all that stuff.
You
guys' podcast too.
This one by so fast. I can sit here for like 3 hours. My Instagram is free Lena the Plug, Lena the Plug on Twitter and TikTok. And we are Plug Talk Show on OnlyFans as well. If you want to check out Plug Talk and everything we just talked about. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate you so much. And thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Dumb Blonde. I will see you guys next week. Bye.